Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it? Or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up on today's brand new I Am Rapport Stereo podcast? I had to go back to the Apple Store and deal with problems with my $1,600 iPhone. We have some crazy, very upsetting, very disturbing sick fucks of the week. Warren Sapp is with me. One of the greatest football players is back once again. It's the Sappaport. We're talking all NFL, talking a whole bunch of shit, all that and more on a brand new Smash Mouth I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Plus, this is the first ever solo I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast that will be coming to life on YouTube at youtube.com/MichaelRappaport. My YouTube page, we're filming it. This entire podcast is taken on a whole level. A whole new level. You can see the sick fucks come to life and so much more. Miles Jordan, let's start this puppy off right. Let's start this puppy off nice. Let me get something funky. Let me get something nice. Let me get something real proper. It's the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Let's go. All right, it is the most wonderful time of the year, people. NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL are all in full swing. Guys, you've heard me talking about this for weeks, and some of you are still on the bench. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at my bookie. If you're the kind of guy or girl that likes to bet a little bit and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win. If you hit all three, you could turn $100 into $600. You know, with me and our expert guest and the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast think tank, you're going to have the edge. My bookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year, and even more so because we're winning over here. Okay, I recommend these guys because I really trust them. I use them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up now and MyBookie will still match your first deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, and you'll get your first deposit matched 100%. Do you understand? 100%. The promo code is Rappaport. You play, you win, you get paid at mybookie.ag. All right. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the Gringo Mandingo, a.k.a. the White Chocolatito, a.k.a. the Jake LaMotta of podcasting. And this is a monumentous occasion. We are doing the first ever solo recording of an I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast episode. Why the fuck we waited this long? I have no idea. I have no clue why we waited this long. Look at this fucking face. Huh? But we're doing it. You can now see the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, this full episode, at youtube.com/ Michael Rappaport, or the Michael Rappaport page at YouTube. If you've never watched or listened to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, this is a non-fact-checking entity. So when I say YouTube/ Michael Rappaport or Michael Rappaport/ YouTube, that's how we get down here. There's no fact-checking. We are rocking without a net. And you are now rocking with the best. This is the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. What can I say? NBA is underway. LeBron James made his motherfucking Laker debut last night. Granted, it was in Portland, but it started. The NBA is underway. The New York Knicks are undefeated. They scored the most points in a quarter or a half they've ever scored, which means absolutely nothing, but it's a great way to start. They played at Madison Square Garden with a whole bunch of players that most of the fans probably had no idea who the fuck they were, but we won. We won the game, the David Fizdale era is underway. We have young players, players that are playing hard. I don't know what the average age is, but there's like, they're children. I think Enes Kanter is the oldest guy, and he's 27, maybe 26. There's 19-year-old dudes. There's 20-year-old dudes. There's dudes that literally can't get into clubs legally in New York City playing for the New York Knicks. But the NBA's underway, man. It's underway. I'm pacing myself with it. You know, it's not even Halloween. Normally, you're in total football, total fantasy football mode now. And this is really the start of when preseason games air, but not anymore. The NBA is a 365-day-a-year entity. Jimmy Butler, Kawhi Leonard, all the people, they started playing. Everybody has played. There's new people on new teams. Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin are on the Detroit Pistons. Blake Griffin, the guy who used to jump over cars, used to be the darling of the NBA. He's in Detroit. No disrespect to Detroit, but he's in Detroit. He's getting paid a lot of money, but he's in Detroit. I love Detroit. Detroit is on the way back, but you never would have thought the darling, LA's darling, Blake Griffin, who I told Blake Griffin, I was with my wife, and we said to him, you could be our son. And he looked at us like we were fucking crazy. But he could. If you saw my wife and you saw me, Blake Griffin could be my son. I don't think he would have the athletic ability that he has, but the looks. I don't think he'd be 6'9", 250 of steel, muscle. But he would look like that. He just wouldn't be able to jump, run, or do any of the... He'd be like a fucking 6'9", slow guy if he had my genes. Anyway, Andre Drummond is a fucking bully. He's out in Detroit. I think he scored 24 points and 20 rebounds like it was nothing. Like I love the way Andre Drummond played. He's pushing motherfuckers around, gets rebounds. He's physical. He's always near the basket. You saw him in the offseason because you see all these guys all fucking offseason. You saw him shooting threes and he was like, wait till this comes and all that shit. Then the game starts in the regular season, he's just fucking Gooden. Friend of the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. But he's just a throwback Bob Lanier, Artis Gilmore, Marcus, Maurice Lucas, Lonnie Shelton, just bully ball motherfucker, and it's perfect for Detroit. Paul George, I don't know why he said this, but Paul George said that if things had went his way and he had got his wish, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't fact check, and the trade worked out the way he had wanted to, he would have wound up a Los Angeles Laker. He's saying this one game into the Oklahoma City Thunder's season, and I don't understand why he would say this. You're not a Laker. You're in Oklahoma City. You're playing with Russell Westbrook. Why bring this up? I don't get it. I love Paul George. I love his hairline. He's got the best hairline in sports. That fucking thing. I mean, his forehead's about this big. His hairline, some might say it's grown too long, but I'd rather have it deep down here, a deep dish hairline, than, you know, what I got going here. You know what I mean? So I fuck with Paul George. I told him when I met him, I said, Paul George, I fuck with you and I fuck with your hairline. Said that to him. I don't know if anyone's ever said that to him. You know, but I feel like I made an impression because I said, I fuck with you. I fuck with your game. I'm glad you're back because we forget he had that crazy injury. He's back to being Paul George, and he wouldn't be Paul George without that fucking deep dish apple pie hair on. That fucking thing is mean. Guy's got a forehead like this. But I don't know why he would say that. I don't know why he would bring up if things had sort of went the way he wanted and his dreams would come true, he'd be a Laker. You're not a Laker. You spend your weekends in Oklahoma City. And I've spoken to people who have worked with the Thunder, and rest assured, Oklahoma City is exactly what you think it would be. No disrespect to Oklahoma City, but it's not like it's on and popping. But the NBA season is here, and like I said, the Knicks are now 1-0. We have 81 more games to go. I am Rappaport Podcast. I played a guy named J.D. Harmeyer, who to most of the world is a loogie on the side of the street. If you don't listen to the Stern Show. If you listen to the Stern Show, you're like, yeah, everybody sort of loves to break J.D. Harmeyer's balls. But if you don't know who he is, he's that. He's that on the side of the street. I played him in fantasy football last week and beat his ass. And that's what I live for in fantasy football. A guy whose team, on paper, technically may be better than mine. I don't care that your two best players, who shall remain nameless, were on a bye week. Tell it to the fucking judge. Okay, but in the Stern Show right now, I'm a cunt hair away out of first place. I'm kicking ass. I'm talking shit. I play Ben Bardo, whose team's name is Who is Ben Bardo? And that's exactly the question. Nobody gives a fuck about Ben Bardo in the Stern Show League. Nobody gives a fuck about him in real life. And then next week, we have Gorilla Face Gary Delabonte with the bulletproof monkey teeth. We play him, and he is the fantasy football crest. He's every single thing that I love about fantasy football. Win, lose, or draw. I am going to be in that gorilla tooth animal's ass all week. All fucking week. I'm going to give it to him real nice. And I'm going to give it to him real proper. But that's coming up. You know what the incident was this week? And I got to be totally honest. I've talked about my iPhone on the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast for the last couple of weeks. I said, please shame me if I get the new iPhone X. I don't even know what it is. X10, XS, SX. I don't know what the fuck it is. But I was like, please shame me. Please shame me if I spend $1,500. $1,500 was the price of a laptop not that long ago. I actually think you can get a laptop today for $1,500. I said, please, I need help. Help me help myself not waste my fucking money on that iPhone. And a lot of you did. A lot of people reached out. A lot of people in the DM said, don't do it, you fuck you. You fucking loser. All these things. What I asked for. And I didn't listen. Even though I asked to be helped, I didn't listen. The day the phone came out, the week after the phone came out, I did it. I was in New York City. I went to the Soho Apple store, and my guy there, I think his name is Chris or Mike, he helped me out, and I got in and out of there like that. When you're in there to buy the $1,600 thing, they fucking whisk you in there. They did everything besides bring me a cappuccino. You need a seat? We'll set this up real quick. We'll get you out of here. All that. It was a pleasant experience. And I even filled out the online rating. How is Chris or Mike to work with? Great, great, great. I even left a message. No bullshit. He knew all the information, whisked me in, whisked me out. Couldn't be more helpful. I filled out the little online brochure. It took 10 minutes. I was happy to do it because I was happy with the service. Did I spend $1,600? $1,659 or something like that? It might even have been $1,709. Yes, but they made me feel like I was important and I was meaningful to the Apple community. Okay? That was about 3 weeks ago. And, get the phone set up. It's nice. Everything's good. And I noticed a few days into it that it's... Again, the pictures, I'm not Annie Leibovitz. I collect photography. I have fantastic artwork. I'm a photography fan. What the fuck am I going to do with this phone? The last phone, I said, listen, we're not going to complain. Your pictures aren't going to get better because the camera's better. As a photographer, I know that. The camera doesn't make the picture. The photographer, he makes the picture. But I knew that going into it. But that's not my point. The problem that I'm having with the phone is that it's slow. And everybody said, oh, it's faster. My guy in the Soho's, it's faster. It's way faster. It's faster. And you can literally have 500 gigabytes, which means it's like online luggage. Like you can put your fucking pictures, your photos, your graphics, all these things that I don't use. But I was like, fuck it. I'm gonna massage myself and get myself that $1,700 phone. Despite the fact that you, the fan, said, don't do it, you fuck you. I had to come to terms a week after getting the phone that it's not working correctly. It's not faster. It's actually slower than the old piece of shit I have. Which a year and a half ago came out, and I walked you through all my comings and goings. So I said, fuck it. I was with the young shooter, Dean Collins. And we went to the Apple store at the Grove. And they could give a fuck about you when you come in there needing help. I go up to this guy and I go, hey, in my way, this is how I am. I said to the guy, I said, yo, this fucking thing ain't working, man. He's like, well, what's the problem? He gave me that look, that millennial, I could give a fuck look like that. That look like that. I'm the customer. The customer's always right. If I say this fucking thing is a piece of shit and it doesn't work, it's a piece of shit and it doesn't work. They don't teach these little pricks that. He's got his fucking blue shirt on. I say, are you a genius? Yes, I am. I said, well, I need, this thing's fucked up, man. He said, well, do you have an appointment? I knew where this was going. We've been down this road. This prick was probably in high school. Junior high school, when I first wasted my money on this fucking piece of shit, the iPhone 4, the iPhone 5, all that, asking me, do I have an appointment? I go, no, I don't have an appointment. I say, but I didn't have an appointment when I came in here and spent the $1,700 on this fucking thing, and you guys whisked me out. You didn't ask me if I had an appointment the day I was there to buy it, did you? You didn't need an appointment. He goes, well, you're going to need an appointment to get that looked at. I go, no, I don't. I need the fucking manager. He goes, okay. I said, he's like, okay, like he's threatening me. I go, please, go get the manager. I said, because this fucking thing don't work. $1,700 and it don't work. Well, what's the problem? I go, it don't work. If I knew that, I'd be a genius like you. This whole thing was caught on tape by the young shooter. That's a fact. Whole thing was caught on tape. I'll show it to you. Manager comes out and he says, "You're asking me all these questions. Do you have an appointment?" I go, "I don't have a fucking appointment, man." He said, "Well, you know, appointment." I go, when can I get an appointment?" "Well, it'd be about 3 hours." "No, I'm a busy man." "I'm really not. I got nothing going on. I'm not a busy man. I got nothing going on." But I said, I can't do it. I got to do something." "Okay, well, what seems to be the problem?" I go, "The fucking thing don't work. It's slow. I said, "Well, why don't you whip out your phone? Whip out your phone." He whips out his phone. I said, "Well, what kind of phone is it?" "Well, this is an 8. It's not as good as yours." I go, "No, it's not, huh? Let's see who's faster." So he does that. He does that. He takes me up on the, and he's, you know, turns mine on the Google search and his on the Google search. And lo and behold, Mr. fucking genius, I was the genius in that moment. His phone, which probably cost $600, was slower than this $1,700 piece of shit. So, we're going to have to do a total reset. How long is that going to take, Duke? I want to get the fuck out of here, man. None of the massaging, none of the chairs, none of the, like, the feeling of, like, love, happy to see you. Do you want your credit card? We could email it to you. You know, when you're spending that $1,700, they're like, "You know, do you want the receipt online or would you like a paper receipt?" "Well, leave me. Oh, thank you." None of that. None of that. I'm a pain in the ass. And God is my fucking witness, the Apple store is also a dog park. While I was in there, look, you can see, while I was in the fucking Apple store, three people, I was there for about a half an hour, three motherfuckers showed up with dogs. Some girl had a fucking horse. A German Shepherd in the Apple store. Some other guy had tattoo face, gold teeth, and a little fucking, like, little Paris Hilton dog. Three dogs in a half an hour. I think, what if there's a dog fight? This is the Apple store. Fuck Starbucks bathrooms being open or not open. This is the fucking Apple store. I came here to fix this fucking phone. What if one dog got into a fight with another dog and this is happening in the Apple store? Steve Jobs is somewhere going, "No, no, no, this is not the fucking dream I dreamed of." This girl's walking around with short shorts and a fucking German Shepherd that, like a kid, you could get your whole fucking face bit off by one of these bastards. Anyway, I'm gonna be totally honest. The fucker reset my phone. He said, I was, "Thank you." Shook his hand. "Appreciate it. Thank you. You know, you're good. Thank you." I go home, I reboot my phone, and it's still not working right. It's still a fucking piece of shit. He said, "Well, it might be one of the apps." I go, "I don't got no porn. Ain't no you porn on this. When I do you porn, I go on the big screen here. I'm not that much of a fucking, you know, I don't want to be porning on the little phone and you're like this. And nah, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it on the big puppy." So I don't know how this thing is going to play itself out, but I'm going to tell you right now that this Apple phone, this $1,700 iPhone X or whatever the fuck it is not all that it is cracked up to be. They got great fucking commercials, great marketing. I am Rappaport Podcast. So this is really exciting, to be honest with you, taking this to a three-dimensional thing. I would like to start shooting these on film. Why not? This is art. We're making art. This is my art. What else is going on? I saw, because people keep track of everything on social media. 24 years ago, one of the dopest, most slept on hip-hop records, I think, ever, Word Life, OC, DITC, Digging in the Crates crew, came out 24 years ago. I don't know who keeps track of this shit, or they have like a calendar of all this shit. But it came out 24 years ago, and what a dope ass record. The kind of hip hop that doesn't get made anymore. I re-listened to the entire album on my hike this morning. I know I look good. I feel good. Word Life by OC. It's literally like it aged so well, like doo-wop music. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they don't make that much more of that kind of music now. Not to say that it's not relevant. It's just like that sound isn't made. The production was so dope. Lord Furness did some joints on there. Buck Wild, who is a sort of slept-on producer, who's probably his most famous song is Biggie Smalls, I Got a Story to Tell. Doon, doon, doon. That record's dope. All the joints on it are dope. I realized on that song, Point of Views, there's an intro in the beginning with a dope-ass beat that I'm sure Jay-Z heard because he's a scholar of all this. He's like a fucking human Google machine of all this. I'm sure he referenced because when he did the Black Album, he took the whole sample and used it for that banger public service announcement. So if you haven't listened to that record by OC, Word Life, in a long time, or you never listened to it, check it out. It's the kind of hip-hop that they just do not make that much of anymore. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to that record. Shout-out to the producer, Buck Wild, Lord Finesse. I want those guys on the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. Long-time fan. And it's just a dope record that came out 24 fucking years ago. My favorite joint on there is the song Time's Up. It's just dope. It's just a dope record. Iron Rapport Podcast. So yeah, this is the Gloom Tomb here, Gloom Tomb Studios. One of the great things about this studio is it's what is this, aerodynamic?
Ergonomic?
Ergonomic.
I think that's it.
Or it's not aerodynamic?
It can't.
Because the desk goes like that. Hey. And you see for the first time live Wheezy, my dog Wheezy, who thinks I'm his father, the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast news dog. He's wiped out because we did go on a hike today. And listen, Wheezy's not great at anything but giving love. And some of us can't even do that. So no, he doesn't fetch anything. No, he doesn't do any tricks. He doesn't roll over. Sometimes he won't even eat the snacks I give him. He give me like an attitude if I give him a hard snack as opposed to like a soft. He likes a beef jerky snack, but he doesn't like the harder snack. Or he'll put it in his mouth and drop it. And I'm like, I could either take it or you could eat it. Because I'll take the fucking thing and I'll throw it in the fucking garbage and then he'll eat it. But he's sweet. But my whole thing with the cats, which has been a long-standing war in my life, I put up another one of these cat videos where the cats were in my backyard, my house, my backyard, feral homeless cats in my neighborhood this week drinking out of my pool that I pay a pool guy to clean. So like, oh, you're complaining. I'm not complaining about paying the pool guy. I'm complaining about the cats. I'm complaining about the cats because the way I see it, and I ain't no scientist, I ain't no animal expert, but if I get in the pool after a feral cat is drinking out of my pool, I might catch fucking rabies. I don't want to share my pool water with a cat for the cat's drinking water. That's my prerogative. That's my fucking prerogative. I don't know what the fucking cats have. They're homeless. They're feral. See? So, oh, you're mean to the cats. No. The cat is trespassing. If it was a person who showed up in my backyard and was drinking the fucking chlorine pool, the salt water pool, actually, I'd have a problem with it. I have a problem with the cats doing it. I would have a problem with raccoons, pigs. As much as I love monkeys, it would be cute for a second. Then I'd be like, I'm never going back in the pool. I love those fucking monkeys, but I'm not sharing my pool with the monkeys. And the cats are not just driving me crazy. They're driving this fucking dog crazy. Wheezy is under siege. That's right, Wheezy. Wheezy doesn't know when they're coming, why they're coming, or where they're coming from. So every time I open my door, Wheezy freaks the fuck out because Wheezy thinks he's protecting the house. It's dog and cats, Adam and Eve. It's Mother Nature. When he sees those feral stray cats, Wheezy does one of the few things that he does really good. He chases those fuckers. And you know what I say? Good boy, Wheezy. Good boy. Yeah. That's right. Get those motherfuckers, Wheezy. Good job. I don't know how this is going to end. Some people are like, catch him in a cage. My man, this is like the Apple Store, dude. I ain't got time for all that. Catch him in a cage and then bring him to a shelter. I'm not trying to get in a relationship with these motherfuckers. I want them off my property. Don't scream at them. They're trespassing. What about me? What about fucking Weezy's mental well-being? I post these videos and people are so critical, like, you're this, you're that, and da-da-da-da-da. I want to be able to open my door and not have my dog have a fucking conniption. So don't get upset at me. Think about Weezy. Fuck the feral cats. Fuck the homeless cats. What about me? What about the trespassing? I am Rappaport Podcast. All right. It's time. This is the first ever audio-visual episode of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast with the award-winning I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast segment called The Sick Fuck of the Week. That's right. That's right. What you're hearing in the background is the Sick Fuck of the Week theme song. And the Sick Fuck of the Week is given to not just anybody. Oh, no. The Sick Fuck of the Week is given to a certain person with a certain je ne sais quoi, as they say. A certain charisma, a certain something that separates them from the pack. And this first Sick Fuck of the Week almost didn't make the cut of the Sick Fuck of the Week, because as sick as the Sick Fucks of the Week are, a lot of times, I'll be honest, they make me laugh. But there was nothing about this piece of shit that made me laugh. An Idaho wildlife official, an official in Idaho who works in the wildlife department, high-ranking piece of shit, went to Africa. This is a game hunter, a big game hunter, went to Africa, and he said, and his wife said, that he wanted to impress her. He wanted to impress his wife, and this sick fucking piece of shit, hillbilly fucking punk pussy, this is disgusting. He killed a family of baboons to impress his wife, and his wife was impressed by it. You're a sick fuck? Look at him. And your wife is a sick fuck, okay? You should not be allowed back in this country. I think this cocksucker resigned. I hope you never get hired again. You can live with your dead baboons that you killed, you sick fuck you. Your wife is a sick fuck. I'm going to have to run it up the flagpole if they should even be involved with the Sick Fuck of the Week segment. It was so upsetting. A family of baboons. What would make, like, baboons in some, like, African safari place? You're not really about that life, Duke. This is how you impress your wife? Why don't you get your fuck game up? Your fuck game is what should impress your wife. You're killing baboons to impress your wife, and she was impressed by it? What is your sex life like? You dog, you animal, you sick fuck you. All right, next Sick Fuck of the Week. We're going to have a more lighthearted sick fuck. Florida man. If going to have Sick Fuck of the Week, rest assured there's going to be at least one Sick Fuck of the Week from Florida. Florida man is offended his entire neighborhood. He is drawing letters, criticism, complaints from his entire neighborhood because he's doing his yard work butt-ass naked. My man, put some clothes on, Duke. The fuck are you doing? As of now, there's no pictures of this sick fuck who is doing his yard work butt-ass naked, as I don't want to see them. Why are you out there butt-ass? Put a jock strap on, at least an old-school jock strap. You know the kind that holds the jock with the little straps? You don't need to wear compression shorts. But there's fleas, there's mosquitoes out there. You're out there butt-ass for what? For what? Go to Vegas. Go to Chippendales. You want to work? Be the naked gardener guy at Chippendales. They're always looking for new gimmicks. They got the fireman. They got the astronaut. Now they got the gardener guy. You come out with your fucking lawnmower and you work at Chippendales. You're offending the neighbors. You're scaring the kids. You're scaring the people in your neighborhood. This is a slow pitch sick fuck of the week. Orange County. Slow pitch, sick fuck of the week. And if you look up the gentleman that make it to the sick fuck of the week, the men and women who make it to the sick fuck of the week segment, 9 out of 10 times, they actually do look like a sick fuck. As you could tell here, Michael Johnson and Jesse Martin. Michael Johnson has gotten rid of all the hair on his body, on his face, and he's tattooed his a whole collection up here. Looks like a sick fuck. I don't know if you lost your hair or you shaved your hair. Why'd you get rid of the eyebrows? Dead giveaway as a sick fuck there. This cocksucker, these sick fucks, went after a guy who left their father's restaurant a bad review and participated in a drive-by shooting. The guy he left a bad post saying that the food wasn't good and the service wasn't good, so they shot him. And as you could tell, this guy, particularly Michael Johnson, tattoo face, he doesn't look like a friendly guy. He didn't look like he has much going on with his life. And he's definitely sick fuck of the week. All right, next up, a guy named Frederick Blue Manzarazis. I don't know how to pronounce his name. He's got a deceptive sick fuck look. Because if you look once, you might not catch the fact that he's a sick fuck. But as you look closer into his eyes, you can tell, yes, in fact, this guy is a sick fuck. A Colorado man was arrested and put in jail, got 6 months in the can for having sex with a dog who unfortunately needs to be euthanized because it became progressively aggressive. See, the guy fucked the dog, and then the dog naturally became unfriendly to people. That's what happens. The dog can't be adopted. This guy's doing 6 months in jail. Hopefully, someone will fuck him. Eh? And we'll see if he becomes aggressive or he folds under pressure. See, this guy right here, check him out. He gets that good Wonder Bread bag and olive oil treatment. 6 months is not that long of a period of time. But even in prison, there's guys that love animals. And hopefully, Frederick Blue will get treated real nice, real proper. And finally, I don't look for the sick fucks. The sick fucks, they come to me. There's two more. This is, again, I don't know why this is something that people do. I don't know why this is really like a theme, like why this happens so often, but it does. In Virginia, a woman and her husband, who ran a kennel company, were accused of abusing animals and recording the acts. They were on that menage a trois. The man and the woman. Imagine if you're married. You're a married couple. And you like together. You're not into like bringing in a guy or a girl or two guys or two girls. Or you're not into cucking. You know, where you watch your wife or your husband. You're not into that. No. That's not enough. You want to watch your wife. You want to watch your husband fuck around with it, with animals. And these people ran a kennel. So they unfortunately had the pick of the litter. If you look at them, they are sick fucks. The investigation into 47-year-old Richard Allen Peterson and his wife was closed. They're under arrest. Charges haven't been brought down on them. But God willing, hopefully again, this gentleman and his wife will get it in some form. We'll get that good Wonder Bread bag treatment. Oh, finally, this is a great sick fuck of the week. I have to give this to my guy, Paul Wall sent me this. OG Paul Wall from Houston. This guy gets a sick fuck slash dumb fuck. He's what we call a double winner. This dumb fuck tried to burn down his ex-wife's boyfriend's house and in the process gave himself, look at this dumb fuck, he gave himself third degree burns and almost killed himself. Ernest Johnson, you dumb sick fuck you. He threw a Molotov cocktail in there. He could have killed people. Fortunately, that didn't happen. He lived, but he'll never be the same. He got his shit all clayed up. He went to the hospital, suffered serious burns. And you know what? Good, fucko. Good for you. And that's why you made it to this week's Sick Fuck of the Week segment. Congratulations, Ernest Johnson. And now that wraps the first ever audio-visual Sick Fuck of the Week segment. All right, listen. Coming up next on the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast, Sappaport, Warren Sapp, all everything, Dick Butkus Award winner, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, one of the greatest football players ever, returns on the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast. We're talking shit and, of course, talking all sort of NFL. Heading into week 7, we're almost at the midway point. Coming up next, my main man, Warren Sapp, on the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast for another segment of Sappaport with Warren Sapp and Michael Rapaport. Oh, I love winning. I love being right, because for a shit talker like myself, being right sets the table. Did you check out my pick last night, Thursday Night Football, on sportsbetcollective.com? You fuck you. If you didn't, then you missed out. I had the Broncos -2 at Arizona, and they won going away. The worst part for you, that pick of mine that I bled for, that was free. Okay? I gave that to you guys for free. And I'm not alone here. The I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast Think Tank. We just win. Use my knowledge to help you win money. I am picking every single game this week at sportsbetcollective.com with commentary you will not find anywhere else. You missed out on my Thursday pick. Fear not Sunday. Sunday is almost here. Your first pick and analysis is free, and any additional picks cost a buck or less if you buy a pack of 5. But you don't have to listen to me. They've also got expert writers picking NBA and college football games every day. Bookmark this page, sportsbetcollective.com. That's sportsbetcollective.com. Catch all my picks at sportsbetcollective.com. Let my knowledge, let the I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast Think Tank knowledge win you money. All right, Warren Sapp.
Oh, hello.
Sappaport.
Ah! You know what? You get out. Get out of the lab. Get out of the lab.
That's it right there.
Get out of the lab. Sappaport. I like Sappaport. I like that one. But you know what I got to tell you? Two things I love when I come out here to see you in L.A. The sky without a cloud in it, but I hate the goddamn traffic. God, almighty knows. It's 35.
But aren't you used to it, though? You mean you've been wheeling and dealing?
No. I'm a Florida boy.
Right.
We got I-95,
and you never played here, so you never, like, really, like, dug in with the traffic.
When I got in the National Football League, the Rams left L.A.
Right.
They left L.A.
So you were just dipping in and out.
Oh, it was just exquisite. Great place to visit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I never had an appointment. I had
to
make.
Now, the traffic is, you got to plan. You got to give yourself 15, 20, depending on where you are.
Extra 20.
Like, if you don't know how to move around and navigate through it, and, like, the escape route
you're dead.
Escape route 2.
You're dead.
Warren Sapp, I Am Rapaport, Route 99, I Am Rapaport Stereo Podcast, Killer Collab, Sappaport. First question. People have been talking about it all week. We'll get into the game and the greatness of the game and the plays and the scoring and all that stuff. Tyreek Hill into the end zone. I mean, well, first of all, Tyreek Hill, just as a speedster, forget a skill in town. Like, have you ever seen who was the fastest little dude?
No. I got to help you out. I saw Deion Sanders and Sammy Smith race in a regional in high school when I was a little boy. I was about 11, 12 years old. My sister was old enough to, you know, be in high school with Sammy, so we went to the track meet. My God, Deion Sanders, that was like speed beyond speed. And you know, Florida's a fast place, but that's what I saw.
Was he the fastest of the fast?
Yes. He ran so fast at the combine, he left. Ran the 40 and just went out the door.
Bye-bye.
Out on the plane and left. Like, there you go.
That's all you need
to
see.
That's it.
When you were on the field, as far as somebody, were you just, or if you were even on the sideline, like a punt returner or a kick returner?
Couple guys.
Who?
Couple guys. Mike Vick was that, you know, watching his
highlights. Was he like that fast?
Oh, yeah. He'd be there and then he'd gone.
That's not why just you had fast it. For a quarterback.
No. fast period. When you're that fast, your hair blow in the wind. You know what I'm saying? Even this little short stuff that we have, it blows in the wind when you run that fast. Mike Vick's that fast. Randy Moss is that fast. Eric Metcalf is that quick. You know, quick like that there and then gone. I mean, but boy, fast guys. Michael Bennett one time, he hit the B-gap on us. Me and Brooks still talk about it to this day. He hit his head on the goalpost before we could turn around and look. He was gone. I mean, gone. Jesus.
Fast.
Fast.
Who is the fastest, like, let's say, big motherfucker? Like, you were just, like, who, like, as far as, like, forget the little guys or the Deons. Like, those are guys that could play all sports. Who is, like, the fastest, like, freakishly big motherfucker? Like, because you're big.
Like Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson.
Okay.
When they were talking about that big fucker ran a 4.65
and how big was he?
315, 330.
That's like a monster.
That's like a bowling ball of butcher knives. You know what I'm saying? It just gets rolling.
That's a scary movie.
Oh, that's get the hell out of his way.
There's nothing you can do.
Nothing. Get out of his way because it's coming through.
Climb into a building, run.
Do whatever he wants to do. Jump like hell. You know, they say Eric Swan was that kind of freakish too. You know, there's been some freakish guys like that, and I wish I could run like that.
All right, so Tyreek runs into the past the end zone. He like it literally looked like he was like, you know, when you see like Hussein,
Randall Hill running up through the tunnel.
Yeah,
just going.
He's just stopping himself. He didn't go in there to taunt. He needed to stop, turn around, and in the blink, it was literally happened so quick. Beer spit in his face, thrown in his face, fingers. You know, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. He turns around. He doesn't acknowledge it. The fans have been banned. I think they're trying to arrest somebody. I don't know. Well, what is your take on that, and what is your memory of, like, the worst game, worst stadium, most vehemently, like, fuck you, oppositional, like, where you were in enemy territory? First, like, what happened with Tyreek? Are you surprised?
All right, first of all, I love rowdy fans. My first two games in the National Football League was in the Vet and in Cleveland Stadium. On the road in the National Football League, my first two games. So I understand the passion of fans. But when you get to where you can actually physically come in contact with someone, or exert your bodily fluids or your Budweiser or whatever, you know, frosty beverage it would have been, you got to restrain yourself. This is a game.
Right.
You're going home to your children, your wives, and go on tomorrow. Tomorrow's a work day if the Patriots lose or not. It's still not going to take away the five championships that you have. I mean, it's like people lose themselves in that moment, like, here's my chance to do something that 15 seconds of fame. It ain't 15 minutes no more.
And that ain't even fame.
It's bullshit.
Now the whole world sees
you.
You got to show up at work.
But let's say this. It's Boston. Did you expect anything? Where the classiness of Boston come at?
When you played New England, what city was like, or what game do you remember where you were like, your helmet
the
on?
The second one. I went to the dog pound. And, you know, I had the little draft thing, so, you know, I got to get to hear all the weed comments and everything. So, you know, I'm listening for something new, you know what I'm saying? Let me hear a new one, because I've heard it all, you know what I'm saying? I got five on it. We got a dime bag. I've heard all this shit. I mean, give me something good. God damn it. I've heard all this. God damn it, it's been 6 months. So I go to the dog pound, and I always turn my back to the fans. I turn my back to them, and I'm in the end zone. I got my helmet on. I hear, dink. What the fuck? I look down, there's a dog biscuit. I got hit in the head with a dog biscuit. I picked that bitch up and bit it. They went fucking berserk.
But they love that, right?
Went fucking berserk. Like, we love you. Why did they take you? I mean, that's why I say I love a fan that has passion about his team. But you got to be able to contain yourself when you get close enough. Because I was standing with Dr. J, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, and a couple other greats at Michael Jordan's last game in Philadelphia. And we had just beat Philly in the championship game to go to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl. We got wet with beer that night, too.
Because of you.
Oh, just because of me. Michael Jordan said, see, this type of shit happened when you rouse up. And they just spread it away. I mean, just got away from me. I'm like, well, let me go back over here on the other side where I don't get wet all the way up right now because I got the great ones away from me.
Philly fans are no joke, right?
Oh, no. Philly fans, you know, peppered Santa Claus with snowballs. So
that's when I had to respect that shit.
No, like no, I respect that too, because that's not a real person.
You're throwing snowballs at Santa Claus.
I love, because Santa Claus ain't real. They no jolly white guy spreading no joy at my house after all his hard-ass work I'm putting in. The jolly black guy is spreading the joy around my house, so that's what I say. And Philly cheered when Michael Irvin, that's when I lost respect for him. 1999, Michael Irvin went down, hit his head on the vet turf. And they, you know, when they take your face mask off and they strap you in and all that foolishness, oh, my goodness, they cheered. That's when I lost it for Philly right there.
So would you say at all places, because could Philadelphia be like the
No,
like,
I played in the black hole, buddy.
What were they
My
like?
My first game in Oakland.
When you were with
stabbed.
Tampa.
No. I went to Oakland for 4 years, buddy.
No, I'm saying.
I am a Raider. No.
Okay.
I went to Oakland in 2004. My first game against the San Diego Chargers, someone got stabbed. My last game in Oakland versus the San Diego Chargers, someone got shot.
In the fucking arena? In the stadium?
There you go.
All right. So, yeah, that's,
and you can look this up.
That's a day.
Someone
yeah,
got stabbed?
Yeah, I'm not with
someone
any of that
shot.
Shit. I'm not with
I
any
went
of that.
Into Oakland, they were stabbing, and when I left, they were shooting.
That, I'm not with any of that shit.
No. Take your ass whooping like a man.
Yeah.
Ass whooping like a man.
If you want to fight, it's a football game.
Come on. And if you want to fight, lock up knuckle to knuckle, take your ass whooping, and then go home, put a little alcohol, put some dirt on it,
yeah.
Come back tomorrow.
We're taking shit too far.
Mm-hmm.
All right, where are we at with the NFL? What is exciting? What is not exciting? What have you learned? Like, now we're starting to get into who's real, who's not real.
No, we find out who the imposters are and who the hell don't know what they're doing. Like the Giants. Like, yo, damn Giants.
Sepp, you're a defensive player. You're with the Giants. Like, I mean, we talked about this the last time, and I really thought, and now I'm done. I gotta be honest.
That nerve.
I'm fucking done.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I'm fucking done
there
with the Odell shit.
There it is.
I'm fucking done.
What is
because
up?
I don't understand this. Like, sometimes I feel like the Odell antics, like he's trying to show the world how much he cares. And I'm like, we obviously you care. We all care. The trainers care. Your conditioning coach care.
The groundskeeper care. Everybody.
And of course you care. You're the number one player.
Hello.
But at what point is it like, what do you make of this? And if you're on the defense, like how much sort of like communication, if you're on that team in your prime and you have this kid who's fucking great, what do? You're on defense. Like,
listen,
honestly.
I had Keyshawn Johnson. Buddy.
Okay.
So don't give me that shit.
Okay,
I'll take Odell Beckham and his speed and his spectacular catches to 106 catches and one fucking touchdown. Trust me, I had a nightmare situation, brother. Come on.
Okay, so first Odell, and then, like, remind us about Keyshawn, because some people, you
yeah,
know, like.
Yeah, but Odell is doing some way outlandish stuff.
Because of what?
I don't know. Maybe it's just New York. I mean, you get guys in New York who were just
but we,
nice
see,
meat
I was going
guys.
Over that, though, but no one – I was thinking
nice
of, like –
meat guys.
Out of all the
and y'all
players.
Turn them into monsters. Like Victor Cruz all of a sudden hit the scene, and now you had to do the salsa off the wrong foot, off the wrong combination and everything, and now where's he?
But he got injured.
They don't come back from injuries no more? I didn't know this was the 80s when you blow an ACL and you gone forever.
But Victor was a lovable thing. Victor was a lovable thing. Like the,
Oh, yeah, because he didn't make much money. And
it just, he sort of came
okay,
out of nowhere.
I got it. But then y'all created this monster that didn't want to play no more. So now what do you think Odell Beckham going to do with that check? Check don't change. Running back in the backfield got to prove he's worthy of being on this level now.
Right.
It's on him.
So, but
and my quarterback, I don't like him. Y'all should have drafted me a quarterback, too.
Yo, if we didn't draft you, okay, so like you either have Sam Darnold or one of these guys.
Ooh,
who
I like Sam Darnold.
Okay,
I like Sam Darnold.
But, I mean,
you're looking for the next 20 years, not the
still,
last.
But
20.
We'd still be fucked with Sam Darnold. It's not like this year Odell Beckham would
all of a sudden be the greatest receiver ever. I got
and,
you.
And
got
Sam
you.
Darnold would be like
you.
Hopefully
I, yeah,
the
I
way
got
he
you.
Is
I
in
got
his fourth
you.
Year.
I got you. I got you.
Like the problem.
Take
like
what
you
have and play good ball.
Whether we pick Sam Darnold or Saquon, and Saquon's doing great.
Oh, my God, he's killing it.
But we'd still be.
I didn't see that. And I'm still, jury's out.
It's early.
Yeah, it's real early.
The jury's out on everybody.
But that kid, boy, he gets out of some holes. Woo, woo.
But if you're on the team, like, let's go to your specific thing. Your headache was Keyshawn.
Oh.
Throw me the damn ball.
No, that was in New York. When you just said that shit in Tampa, it would have been over.
But how does it work in terms of, like, you're the captain of the defense. Like, do you
say
to the wide receiver?
8 yards in a cloud of dust.
Is it church and state with the like the defense and offense, or would you say yo what the fuck? Or if you have
no,
a
it's like three branches of government.
Explain it.
Offense, defense, special teams, and then there's an overlord, which being the head coach. But those three phases have to be in sync, and the Giants are all over the damn place. If they don't botch, if Odell don't botch the kick down there in Carolina, that's not a 63-yard game winner. You got to put the game in a totality situation, and
that you're the first person who said specifically that about Odell, because it's like you make mistakes too, motherfucker, and I don't get it.
You gonna get knocked down in a football game. That's the whole purpose of a football game is to knock you down, get you off your game. Now what do you do?
Right.
You do what? Go to your weakness and then beat him. You want to beat a man, you attack his weaknesses. You want to break a man, you attack his strengths.
Right.
See, that's the type of football I like. See, I'm going to break you. You know exactly what I'm lining up in, and you can't do a damn thing about it except take this ass whooping. And the Giants are all over the place. I mean, all over the place. But the O-line, when your O-line is not
and
what
the defense, though. Like, the defense is like
ain't doing
points.
Nothing. I mean, I can't believe. I'm watching Cam Newton go down the field on this drive, and I'm like, son, you're going to need another 6-7 yards. You know? I mean, to respectively line your kick up and say we got a shot to win this game. He didn't get it. He didn't get those extra yards. I'm like, how is? And then the kicker came through. So, hey, man, the Giants just snake-bitten right now.
but does all the antics and all the fighting the fan, like the fan, not the fans, like he banged his head against it, and now Sterling Shepard is like, well, you could throw a shit fit, I could throw a shit fit. I mean, I just don't understand, like, you know, what's the end game with it? Like, we got our best player who's out of control. Like, is it reasonable to be like, you know what? Sit your fucking ass down. We're not playing you the second. Like, how does this end?
Oh, we sent ours home. We sent ours to Fox TV. You go do games or whatever you want to do out in California. Got to get out from around us. We was out to defend the championship, and he didn't want to conform with anything we had going. That's conduct detrimental to the team. I know it's written in your contract. Al
right.
Davis had an insubordination one in there, so if he told you something and you didn't do it, that was a reason for you to not get paid this week. Insubordination. Hey, but we know through life, there's been two things that will show the true character of a man. Power and money.
I just don't understand.
Power and money will make you come out your shell and show exactly what and who you are.
So do you
no
think this is going to get any better?
Form.
This is not going to get better with him.
Oh, no, it gets worse.
And you know, the thing for me is, like, if you know, historically, whether it's Dez, who's out of the league right now, Chad, who was – how good was Chad?
Oh, my goodness. And then it just disappeared.
Because the NFL said, enough.
Enough. When the bullshit and your talent meet, you're gone. Ask Terrell Owens. Ask Randy Moss.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
And
that's
the receivers are the ones
hey,
that –
hey, hello. There's a laundry list of them if you ain't watching.
And there's probably second-tier ones that
aren't. That are ready to jump up in the top tier and do the same dumb shit. Instead of being like, Julio, hey, man, I don't get the ball in the red zone. I go out and run the routes and play the game.
And that's Julio Jones.
Hello.
Every year, like Hello. Clockwork. The motherfuckers.
Yeah, but that might be that Nick Saban breaking you, too. Because I've seen him. Amari Cooper might be the quietest Miami Northwest Bull I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I can't believe he went to Northwest in the middle of Miami off 95. I just can't. I mean, I see the kid. I watched him walk around training camp for 2-3 days. Didn't say a word. Not a word. If a Miami-Dade County player ain't bumping his gums.
Especially a receiver, right?
Oh, my God. But any good one. A good one? Oh, they ain't doing nothing but bumping their gums. It's like a Florida thing. Gum bumping comes with playing well. That's what we do.
I said the Giants. You say what? What's on your head? What's on your mind in terms of the league? Like, who's
draft
good?
Draft position.
Which one?
When you say Giants, I say draft position.
Okay, when I say Raiders.
Oh, even better draft position.
is this Khalil thing?
No,
was this the
no. This is John Gruden not wanting to coach young kids who don't believe in anything but likes, views, and followers, getting a 28.1-year-old team that's nice and old. I watch.
Is that you? That's their age?
28.5 is the average. 28.1.
Collectively.
Average. Don Penn's way over 28.
Right.
You know, I mean, right, like Derek Johnson's way over 28. You see what I'm saying? They dragging some of them 22, like the Amari Cooper and the Derek Carr. When you think about their weapons, you think, they're trying to bring it under 30. It's without them kids, it'll go over 31 in a heartbeat, like that. Shit, Jordy Nelson ain't no damn swing chicken either. So think about what we're talking about here. You know, he's building a team with a bunch of young, you know, whippersnappers with a bunch of old guys that he's trying to incorporate because you want to run your system a certain way. And young kids just don't believe in your system to where now offensive coordinators like Andy Reid and great offensive mind Jeremy Bates and these guys have turned themselves over and said, okay, this kid comes into college with this spread stuff. Let's do it. We call it RPO now.
Right.
Hey, every damn player in the National Football League is RPO. Damn it, run pass option. You got both options.
Right.
RPO and a F. Run pass or fuck it up. That's what you have in the NFL. That's a three option.
Pass.
Hey, run pass, fuck it up. That's what you have in the National Football League. Every player is like that.
Right.
Jim McMahon, I was watching the 85 team. Jim McMahon used to get players come in and be like, nah, we ain't running that. We finna call this. run pass option.
Right.
This is in 85.
Right.
Me and you were babies. Don't even know nothing about this.
It's change.
They have to change because the NFL used to be a cookie cutter. 6'4", 250-pound quarterback with a rifle arm. Hands had to be this big to hold a big NFL football. All these things. That's what it was. Russell Wilson broke that mold. A lot of guys have broken that mold. Mike Vick broke that mold. Drew Brees breaks that mold. You know, all the quarterbacks we watch today break that mold.
Right.
Except the Peyton Mannings and, you know, the Tom Brady's, you know. But Brady wasn't looking like no monster greatest quarterback when he came out of Michigan.
Hell no.
Oh, God, Jesus.
He looked crazy.
What was that? What's that red stuff at the movies that you buy that flings around that you eat?
Licorice?
Yeah, that's what he looked like. He was soft.
Soft.
Oh, it's tissue paper.
It looks crazy
but
now
he's
when
beast
you look
now,
at
boy.
Beast. Ooh, the motherfuckers out there like, yo, 3 minutes, you knew it was over.
Oh,
it's over.
Over. When he scored and they spit, I'm like, damn, they get to spit on him and win. They did some shit in Boston. Oh, yeah, I said it to myself. I said, that's some shit right there. You spit on the man and win. That's some bullshit.
Yeah, he got that shit. Like, talk about a monster movie. It's like, 3 minutes
that's
left.
That's a field goal.
Bye-bye.
Field goal. That's how he wins the Super Bowls. He's never won
totally
one where he had
relaxed.
To drive. He never had won one where he had to drive and score a winning touchdown.
But he ran the motherfucker in last time. I'm like, this is the slowest. Like, he could do his little quarterback sneaks from 1 yard. He ran
A
4 or 5 yard. I'm like.
All right. Now, I got a question for you.
And he's 41.
I got it. Hey, listen. When you know the game and you have certain situations,
I mean,
you got to go.
He's,
that's what Matt Ryan, take fucking notes. Sometimes you got to run it in, son. Sometimes
right.
you got to put your light, like John Elway do the helicopter
right.
in the air. You
right.
got to go
right.
for your football team.
And sometimes.
That's when they'll kill for you.
Right.
That's when you've crossed the line. Oh, yeah, he one of us.
He fucking did that shit, Tom
you have
Brady.
To.
That
you have
motherfucker's
to.
41.
Yeah, you got to.
And he took a hit.
Oh, yeah, you got to. That's the whole point. You got to get on the track sometime. Take the hit, get off, and
do you think with Matt, because you wanted to ask me a question, but do you think with Matt Ryan, is he just like, that's not even a consideration?
No.
It's really not a consideration.
You know how he got his name, Matty Ice? He used to carry an ice mug around so he can drink out of the kegs at the parties in college. He had an ice mug. That's how he got the name, Matty Ice.
Not from being Matty Ice.
Tell me the cool, calm, collective situation where he brought home the championship and I'll name him something else.
Like, right.
That's that cold mug he used
right.
to drag around Boston College
that's
to
it.
Drink. Yeah.
What were you going to ask me?
You brought up the sneak. And I got tortured because, you know, I'm sitting here watching, I forget who. Oh, Deshaun Watson on the 1 yard line.
Yes.
What happened to the quarterback sneak?
With him.
Drew Brees does it, jumps up over
if
the
If Tom Brady could
ball,
do it, anyone could
oh, Tom
do
Brady's
it.
Never been stopped on a 4th-and-1. This is one of the lures that the GOAT, 200 wins, never been stopped on 4th-and-1, winner of 5 Super Bowls. Damn Joe Montana. Yeah, I got all that. But we get some of the best athletes in America
right.
because it used to be one of my greatest stats I used to pull out. Cam Newton, since he got in the National Football League, his amount of rush touchdowns, I don't think there's a back in front of him. There's not a back in front of him.
Right.
When you allow one of those horses down there on that inside that 1-2 yard line to sniff that goal line, because I have a golden rule: all quarterbacks get courage in the red zone, all except Matt Ryan. It's just Matt Ryan would not do it. I mean,
but what about Deshaun too?
Who?
When we were saying
Watson,
yeah,
they give him a shotgun full read of the field.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
I don't know football, Sam.
No,
I'm like, why is this
the
shotgun?
The closer you get to the goal.
Stay closer,
hello,
right?
Hello.
Don't go further.
Shotgun.
The ball's
offset.
3 yards back now.
Nah, I want to throw a fade route. The first one was a fade. I'm like, okay, I understand the fade with Andre.
Okay, now we
right
got
now.
Two more chances.
Let's get
Can we
in
just
the...
fucking Earl Campbell it or Walter Payton?
Walter Payton
Can
up and over the
somebody fucking
top?
Jump
hello.
This?
The quarterback. We watched Drew Brees do it.
Refrigerator Perry.
No, only thing you got to do is snap the ball and
go
stick.
Go like this.
And why do they give him
I don't
a
know.
Foot?
I'm asking you. You're hey, fucking
I'm
Hall of Fame. You're asking
out.
Me. I
hey,
don't know
I
a fucking thing.
Hey, I play defense around here. I'm trying to figure out what the
fuck
hell
is
they
he
doing.
Asking me? You're asking me. I don't know fucking anything.
Brother, I'm trying to ask you because maybe you have some insight.
I got some fucking insight. I don't have fucking insight. I don't know fucking anything.
Yeah, you
You
do.
Tell me
you
why.
Like me.
And he's my fantasy guy.
All right. I got this for you.
You're going to ask me another football question. You're a fucking Hall of Famer.
I'm not asking you no more football questions. I'm just going to tell you a couple things in the National Football League that used to be true that are no longer true. In the words of the great Al Davis, in the first 5 to 10 plays of a football game, the opposing quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. Great defenses travel in the National Football League. Jacksonville Jaguars show up in fucking Dallas and shit the bed. Jalen Ramsey, shut your damn mouth, boy, until you learn how to play defense, read coverages, and do your damn job. That's what, and when you talk that shit comes back if you ain't got nothing to it. Bowl is the best cornerback on that team. And if anybody's watching it and telling me you want Jalen Ramsey and you don't want Bowl, you don't know football. So Jalen Ramsey, shut the hell up, son. They made him look like a clown out there. Ain't no monster receivers in Dallas. Ain't no monster receivers in Dallas. This man out here, ooh. Shit, Josh Gordon got his shit together after he wiped up last week. He got him a nice pick and then watched the Redskins win, play the game like he's supposed to. Shut your damn mouth. You ain't that great. What'd I miss?
I hear you, man.
The shutdown corner is gone.
Why?
They don't allow him to beat him up anymore. Only thing you got to do is go watch Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice in the Georgia Dome back in the day where they got so heated they fighting each other. That's when you know it's me and you all day long, big boy. Whatever gum you chewing, I'm getting a piece. You go in the bathroom, I'm wiping you. That's the football I growed up on right there. This,
they don't let him hit him off the line.
No, the jamming and thing. But because if they did, they'd grab and pull and yank, and it'd be a penalty all day long. Oh, it'd just be flags all day long. Because you see some of these penalties, and the kids look on their face like, you call that? Like, what the hell? You almost raped him out there.
Well, right.
Why you have this innocent look on your face?
Right.
I don't get it. I mean, blatant over-the-top penalties, and they looking like, what you saw? You grabbing, holding, out of position, about to be burnt, trying to save a touchdown.
As of right now, what defense is playoff ready?
None.
Come on.
Listen, the National Football League is now who can score 30 points. Look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneer game. Did you see that last play?
Yeah.
Holy shit. They almost had one.
Yeah.
Where you come up with that at? You drawing up plays like that, you know you need some wild-ass shit, right?
Yeah.
You drawing up some shit we've never seen at the end of the game that almost worked and win a game.
That's your team.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
I got to find out. I was like, holy shit. But it almost worked.
It almost worked.
Almost worked. It ain't been practiced enough. That's all it is. Philly was some shit that wasn't good until they practiced the hell out of it and it comes on.
But a crazy play you got to practice isn't two-hand touch in the park. Like, this is the NFL. This ain't even preseason.
They don't have as much time as they used to have.
Come on. But then why are you trying some way out
it's
there?
It's the end of the game. We need this.
What is your take? Like, a lot of people were saying, I mean, Jameis played well this weekend.
Listen, let my quarterback get the rust off him and he will be fine.
Okay, you're taking that.
That Fitzmagic shit, you've seen that in New York.
He's a backup
quarterback. Come on, man. He's a journeyman. Going to go through 50 teams. A lovely guy for your morale. If something happened to your quarterback, he could fill 4 or 5 weeks and play well enough for you to hold it.
And
he did exactly what he was supposed to do.
But, Sap, when I say to you right now, like, is it the rules? Or is it just like the rules are making it so defense is not en vogue? Defense is like their handcuff.
They put an Autobahn in the middle of the field.
Will that tighten up come late December, January?
No. It gets wider.
They want to see.
It gets wider.
They want.
This gap between offense and defense gets wider because at the beginning of the year, defense is always ahead of offense because of timing.
Right.
So when it gets later in the year, you get tired, you get lazy. Shit, defensive coordinator can't come up with so many four weeks. You only can come up with so much cloud coverage. That's why Tom Brady, at the end of the fourth quarter, he got your ass. If you're in a position where I need 3 points, I got you. You can't show me nothing that you haven't showed me in the last four quarters.
That's because of what is it?
You just can't. 4 strong or 4 weak. All right. In the National Football League, I need to draw it for you. But look, center in the middle, guard, tackle. Guard, tackle. Back in the back. 5, 6.
Right.
3 go that way, those guard tackle, then the back goes, 3-3.
Right.
When you send 4, that's one more than you got the block. 4 strong, 4 weak. That's how we blitz in the National Football League. And then if it gets to a certain point where you on the goal line and you need the ball back, you send everything.
Right. And
it's called Banzai. Banzai.
So later in the season.
Oh, yeah, defense is vanilla. That's why the great ones line up in cover 2. The great ones line up in Dallas's fucking I formation. Pro form 8, we coming with Emmitt Smith. We coming with cover 2. Tom Brady's coming with that damn rinky-dink, whatever he does, and here it comes. We going to what we know, and you got to be damn enough to stop it.
Right.
Yeah.
And a guy like that, it's done.
Especially when you got to manufacture
something. He's been doing it. Brady's done it so many times.
The way you beat Brady is with a front 4, the way the Giants did it. You got to rush him. tuck in the middle, straight hand coming from the outside, whoever the hell asked the mother two they had rushing, Brandon Graham coming up the middle, getting that sack call fumble at the end of the game, you got to take the game from him. You can't allow him to keep going because if you don't make the play, he will.
He's a fucking sushi chef he's back going there.
To
make,
and they open the field. They don't allow you to hit nobody underneath the damn chin anymore. Damn, Miami game, targeting. Damn it. Best damn DB gone. Another one's already gone. Now you're dragging me all the way back to Saturday. It's bad football, boy, all around this weekend.
What about – how are you feeling about Dallas, Dak Prescott? Is this guy – is he a victim of his early success? Or is he just not that good?
No, you're a victim of being a Dallas Cowboy quarterback, and you have to live down Roger the Dodger and Troy Aikman in championships.
And
that's
just,
all it is.
It's sort of a lose-lose, right?
And the greatest backup in Cowboy history in Jason Garrett.
Right.
You know he did show up and beat the Green Bay Packers on Thanksgiving at one time.
Right, one
the
time.
The greatest backup in Cowboy history.
Shit. It's a thankless job.
No, you get way more credit than you deserve, and you get way more blame. That is the golden rule. That's never going to change about the National Football League. So
but Dallas is like...
Oh, Dallas going to be that way, and then Texas is Texas, and that's a black quarterback, so...
Light skin.
Black quarterback. Light, bright, damn near white, don't cut it, brother.
So what do you make of him? Like, is he a good... Like, No.
He came out of nowhere.
Stop.
What happened was the Dallas Cowboys... You know... Brad Johnson has more touchdown passes than Troy Aikman, right?
I didn't know that.
Okay. Dallas Cowboys live off a formula of running the ball, then I'll throw it when I have to, or when I need to, or when you don't expect me to. Up top to Hopper, post to Michael, square to Michael, Novacek working it, but it's basically this O-line and Emmitt. This O-line and Zeke. And then they had Dez out there where if you got into a one-on-one, Dez could handle that.
Right.
That's what Jacksonville thought. Jalen could handle that.
Right.
See? But when you can't handle that, that is a one-on-one with a paid receiver that can get down. And if you got a quarterback like Dak, that makes an easy read, cuz. When I got single high safety, that's an easy read. That takes all this foolishness out of this thing. I can go back and go, okay, let's go to work.
So their big win this weekend is no.
If you get put in that situation where now you got to go 8 in the box and you need to stop Zeke and your cornerbacks ain't ready to play because they don't know the name of the receiver and they ain't really paid attention this week, yeah, you can get beat just like that. You get stung. Shit, we walked out to Oakland. We was on, 6-7 game winning streak? It was on my birthday in 99. 45 to nothing. They ran for 365 yards on my ass. Trust me, it'll happen. Right in the front of your face. And there's a damn thing you can do about it because you haven't prepared all week. It's too late now.
Do you remember, like, when you say that game, like...
Oh, like yesterday.
Oh, majority of your games?
Yeah. Any one of them you got. You just tell me the score, whatever it is.
Next time you come, I'm like, we're going to do a trivia.
No problem.
But
no
you're
problem.
One of those people. Is that most football players? Cause every,
I don't know.
But
the
like,
ones
if
that
I
give
throw,
a damn? Yeah.
If I threw, like, a game at you,
oh, yeah,
you're going to be in the ballpark.
Yeah, we get it. Oh, no, we get it to it. Hell, yeah. Shit, yeah. That's my life. I live that shit.
And
I was sober while I was doing it. That's what really...
You watch the film and the tape.
You get your mind right and the tape, it kind of oozes in, it gets right. But boy, when you sober that thing, oh God. The endorphins and everything get in there. It's good memories.
You mentioned hanging with Jordan. You were a Jordan brand guy.
Yeah.
I've seen actors, athletes. I've never met Michael Jordan. No. Never. I've never like even dapped him up. Never even like in passing. I've never made eye contact with him. What's Michael Jordan?
Where the hell were you at when Jordan was playing all these basketball games? Rennie from fucking Higher Learning.
I never fucked with him.
They wouldn't give you tickets to these games?
I seen him.
Oh, you just never approached.
I've never been in the room. But Jordan,
okay. Right.
In his prime.
In the next three Super Bowls in Atlanta, Tampa, Miami, I'm going to make sure we go to the Jordan party.
And you got to introduce
him. No, I'm going to walk you up to him. What the hell are you talking about?
Because I don't want a fucked up Jordan story.
I'm going to walk you up to him. Yeah, of course you
can. Because there's some fucked up Jordan stories.
Fucked up Jordan stories. I've been there for a couple of them. Holy shit. Trust me.
He don't give a fuck who you are. So, but Mike, like when you were chilling with him, like, first of all, like the star, his celebrity, how big was it? And just what is Michael Jordan like?
It's more like a private environment where it's like, the first time I met him, I went to his house in Chicago and him and his boys were down there in his trophy room playing cards. I don't play cards, but I do smoke nice cigars. And he had a cigar room and the trophies. I mean, he's just a down-to-earth guy if that's where you at. But if you on the other side, please let it be Mr. Jordan or whatever, and please be real courteous and not at dinner when we're sitting there eating. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's certain things that mama taught you that really apply to life like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
You know, but other than that, he's really a fun guy.
Is he a shit talker? Like,
oh,
Carl?
My God.
He talks shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I watched him go at Dominique Wilkins for about 10 minutes. It was bad.
About ball,
about just shit. Shit.
Like, you obviously you didn't play basketball with him. Did you get, like, he was a purebred killer. Alpha dog,
killer.
Right?
Absolute killer.
You could get that just from his disposition.
Killer.
He want to fight if he got to go to fight.
I don't think it's about a fight, but he gonna get right up to that line. Never seen him, you know, like that, but I've seen him go at you. Because he going to go at you at a card game. He going to go at you at pool, whatever. Don't sit on him at a poker table. I call it the death march. Oh, it's a death march. Oh.
And this is younger Jordan.
Yeah.
He probably, because he ain't got basketball now, he's probably fucking worse.
Well, he got
the
twins and the mama now, too.
Right.
You know, you
gotta, slow your ass down.
Oh, you better believe
even MJ.
She going to stop that shit. You know, right. Hey, no.
Motherfuckers got to sleep. We got these kids sleeping. All right, Sap, what else in the NFL? Like, where are we at? What is the landscape of the NFL? Like, I asked you in the beginning of the season predictions. I know it's like...
I told you, wait the goddamn Thanksgiving. I've been telling you this since day one. We're at week 7. That's where we at. We almost halfway. And right now, I'm looking at the damn thing, and I'm like, okay, the Chicago Bears...
Are they good?
Not sure. Because the Miami Dolphins ain't really a test because that's Tannehill and company down there. You know what I'm saying? But they played a pretty good game. We know Oakland's dead. Cincinnati, I don't know. You can't hold your home field in your division? Now you gotta go to Heinz Field and try to single it up? That's why the first 2 months is the freshest, fastest football you want to play. So you want to get out. You want to get out because take it from someone that was on 3 teams that were 3 years in a row was 3-4. After week fucking 7, right where we at right now. And all 3 of them made the playoffs. And one of them, I went to the NFC Championship game and won 6 in a row and went out to Oakland, got beat 45-0. Yeah.
Right.
That's the type of shit I'm looking at. I mean, you look at Minnesota and you go, God damn, is Kirk Cousins going to throw his arm off? I mean, how many times are they going to throw this ball, right?
Right.
And then Andrew Luck, really, Ursay? After all those years of Peyton Manning and every offensive weapon you could possibly imagine trying to get to him, you leave Andrew Luck's cupboard bare. This man throwing the ball 521 times in the last 5 weeks. Are you kidding me? The amount, the repetition, the throws, and you know he's not healthy because he's coming back. And then he's still throwing the interception and running and making the tackle.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Oh, yeah, but he's the best. I love that damn guy. Yeah,
because of that?
I love it.
And like his competitiveness?
Yeah, because he can play the game at a very, very high level, but when he makes the mistake, he wants to correct that mistake. And there's nothing like a guy that'll tell you my bad and then go wipe the deck with him in the process of telling you my bad. The Rams are for real.
They're for real, right?
Yeah, they're for real. They got an offense that I really look at that offense, and that's better than the greatest show on turf. Because Gurley and Marshall's a wash, but I give Marshall the check because he's from New Orleans. When you from New Orleans, you just got a little toughness, a little more toughness to you. I love Todd Gurley. He flicked it with that left hand, so he's a little more artistry. You know what
right.
I'm saying? A little bit more grimy. I'll take the grimier back than the artist. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I love the Picasso, but I'll take that grimy one.
Right.
That's Marshall. But those receivers,
they got the whole kit.
They feed off each other.
Right.
You know, Torrey and them was in competition.
Right.
You know, Torrey and the Rev and Ike, they was in competition.
Right.
And crazy Roland Williams and that tight end. You know, he wanted to be a star too. And he
right.
was just a tight end getting 2 catches a game. These boys here are flat foot feeding off each other.
Yeah, I agree.
Whatever we need, coach, we going to do. Whoever's hot coach, let's feed him. And I'm definitely going to run that clear out so he can come underneath me.
Right.
When you got a group like that, man, and I know it's from the head coach. When you have a savant that sits like that and he lives the game. He lives the game and he's going to turn over every rock for you. A man like that, you want to play for, you live to play for, you dream to play for. I swear, you dream to play for McVay. You dream to play for a guy that wakes up in the morning and nothing he wants to do except get you in a position to dominate him on a Sunday afternoon. My God, give him to me every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
What is your take on this? I think it's stupid. I mean, you look at it in a different way because you're Warren Sapp. Well, but what is your take on this? Jared Goff, he's just a system quarterback. I'm like, if the shoe fits, great.
Okay,
if the system fits.
Okay, they said that Terrell Davis, Clinton Portis, and Mike Anderson, the other Anderson, the other fucking 22, whoever the hell was in Denver was assistant running back, but they were putting up 60 other fucking yards, so I'd be assistant running back too. That's some nice system to run in because you still got to do it. Jared Goff is benefiting from matchups, a coaching staff, and a confidence in himself.
That he had to earn.
Oh, that you have to build.
Because remember the first couple of days when he came in, they were like, he sucks.
Hey, play in and play out, because in the National Football League, you are 60 minutes from the penthouse to the outhouse, and it goes that fast. Ask Jacksonville. It goes that fast, and for 2 weeks, now Jacksonville's the worst defense on earth, right?
Right.
It happens that fast to you, and it can go for 4 or 5 weeks. Just
this
that fast. Because
is just
the last
bullshit,
time I checked,
right?
Blake Bortles can't get nobody out of shit. Wet paper bag. He can't get himself out of a wet paper bag.
Stinks.
I watched him. You want to know a system quarterback? That's him. Because I watched George O'Leary at UCF tell him, you throw the ball right there or I'm pulling your ass out of the game. You drop back and you throw it there. Throw it there. That's it. He was made to play. And when Blake got an easy read, he throws it like that.
Right.
But when somebody in his face, oh, duck one, duck two,
right,
duck three, duck four, oh, good God almighty, there's too many people in here, get me out of here.
Is that a way of, like, marginalizing Goff? Is it because he doesn't run? I mean, you know he ain't running, but I mean, he's...
Hey.
It don't matter, right?
You ain't got to run when you're an Iron Man front lawn dropping dimes like that. That boy dropped dimes. I mean, them balls he's dropping on that dog. Them receivers ain't reaching for them balls.
Right.
They're hitting them right there.
So he's a very good quarterback.
And that man is dropping that thing in the bucket, some kind of nasty Todd Gurley running it, and that defense will bite.
Yes.
Whew. And that defense will bite. And when they get them two corners back, oh, my God, the front and the back end working together late in the year, and you ain't got nothing but your raggedy-ass offense that really don't go, and you got to come up with two or three trick plays for four quarters, it's going to be hard as hell to beat the Rams. It's going to be hard as hell to beat the Rams. And L.A. will wake up and fill that place up. Oh, my God. It's going to be a fucking party.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be a good party.
It's going to be showtime with LeBron. It's going to be showtime.
Greatest show on grass, baby. Let's go. Greatest show on grass. You better bring your ass because they got a lot of weapons.
I agree.
You better bring your ass because they got a lot of weapons, bro.
I agree. Them motherfuckers are good. And it's so funny because I remember, like, I had no skin in it with Goff, but, like, when he came in, I can't remember who he came in for. His first season, he got fucking knocked around on Monday Night Football.
Oh, got abused on Monday Night
Football.
He sucks.
He's a bum.
I don't know why they drafted him. All this, yeah.
And now he's assistant. I'm like, yo.
Now he got a head coach and a play caller that knows exactly what he is and what's around him, and they are absolutely ding, dong, dong.
And
yeah,
a quarterback,
ringing the bell.
If you don't have to run, that's not
true. Why would you want your quarterback
play running
run?
Back? Listen, play
Mike,
receiver.
Mike Vick is the greatest thing we ever seen in the National Football League, hands down. But that shit is a once in a lifetime.
Right.
That's a one. Marcus Vick couldn't do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That shit's a once in a lifetime.
And Jared Goff ain't definitely
Tim
not
Tebow
doing it.
Tebow couldn't do it.
Right.
He was 40 pounds bigger.
Right.
That shit don't play in the National Football
right.
League. Vic was the only one.
Right.
Somebody else, you better throw this ball.
Right.
And when you get running, you better slide your ass down.
Right. Right.
As RG3.
Right. Right.
Haloti Nata.
Right.
Leg went
That's
everywhere.
It.
Lord Jesus. I never felt nothing like this before. I know you hadn't, son. That's why they asked you to slide.
All right.
I don't get it.
Sappaport, Route 99. We're heading into week 7.
Oh,
we're
going
to be rocking all season.
Hey, listen, we're going to rock all season because with the Patriots doing what they're doing, I like the Jets. You see, you always say you don't like the Jets. I
like
Sam
the
Donald.
Jets for what?
Like
what do you mean?
I like
how much you like
I like
them?
Sam Donald. They ran for 232 yards on Denver because Denver didn't realize that, you know, they're a smallish defense. You believe this shit? I guess people are just not reading your own profile. I mean, just look at yourself and understand your weaknesses and your strengths as a defense. Because you're going to give up 350 yards. That's just what the National Football League does now.
Right.
You're going to give up 350 yards. You're going to give up around 25, 26 points.
Whatever you learned in the past about the 350-yard change.
Oh, that shit is dead. The 400-yard game is on the verge of being a regular 5-6 time. Fitzpatrick has his jersey in Canton, Ohio for three straight weeks of 400-yard games.
Right.
Not Dan Marino, not Joe Montana, not any of those great.
That's crazy.
The Amish rifle.
He'll be in there for that.
That jersey will not leave. It's there. It's only going to be displayed for this year, but it's up there. He won't get
it.
Now,
they'll put it in one of them back rooms. That motherfucker ain't coming out.
There's not a lot of back rooms in there. They put you on display right in the front.
Right,
and then they
put
you in the back. After that's it? That's
but it'll be commonplace, though.
No. Somebody else jersey might join him, but it won't be the Dan Marinos or the great quarterbacks, the gunslingers that we talked about, the Elways, the Phil Simms with a 445-yard game and stuff like that. It's crazy, right?
It's crazy.
Wow. What is the single-game record for the most yards? Flynn. I'm thinking Matt Flynn.
505 or some crazy shit?
No, because Phil's got 545.
We don't fact check.
Phil's got 545. He's got a 545 or 454. No, it's a 500-yard game. It's a 500-yard game. I think it's like 530. We got three people around us, all with smartphones, and ain't now one of them looking this shit up.
No,
You'll be amazed. We'll come back.
Somebody will get it. Next time we're going to play Warren Sapp trivia.
Oh, there it is. All right. We're going to see what the Hall of Famer knows. How about that?
Zappaport, Rappaport, Route 99, Aaron Rappaport, Stereo Podcast, all NFL, everything, shit-talking extravaganza. I want to thank my guest, Warren Sapp, for rocking with me. Route 99, Aaron Rappaport, Stereo Podcast, collab. What can I say? It's very exciting. More to come, Aaron Rappaport, Stereo Podcast, Miles, Jordan. Take us out of here with something real nice, something real proper, something real funky. And you can see this episode, the entire episode with the audio, visual, three-dimensional quality put together by the Young Shooter. We got all kind of graphics. You can actually see the sick fucks we're talking about. You can see the short film of what actually occurred at the Apple Store at youtube.com/MichaelRappaport, youtube.com/MichaelRappaport. I can't wait to see what you guys think of it. Sapp, thanks for rocking with me. Miles, Jordan, take us out of here with something real nice, something real proper.